Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
I'm going to read from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Would you hear the word of God? Now, as an elder myself and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith. For you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As Miss Tammy said in her children's moment today, Christians have had to face perilous times when not only was their message not welcome, but what they were doing was considered illegal. This passionate admonition that we heard from Peter was written at a time when living in a community of faith was a challenge, for Christianity was illegal. So Peter, being the good shepherd that he was, offered some healthy spiritual food to his flock to sustain them in these perilous times. Now, you remember Peter. He's the head of the 12, the head of the 12 disciples. That follower of Jesus whose faith was identified as being strong enough to serve as the foundation of the church. This particular letter was written to aliens, those who were residing in northern Asia Minor. It was written to a mixed social status of people, slaves and free, men and women and children. It was written to people who had not physically seen Jesus. And they were probably some of the new converts to this concept of living in a faith community. These words are from a circular letter, so it gets passed around. But unlike some of the other more general letters, this one identifies specifically who it was intended to be for, to those who are chosen. In that world, instinctively, you think of Jews, but this letter was also written to Gentiles who are now a part of the people of God. So Peter sends this passionate message to communicate to those people who are learning how to love and to follow Jesus this one thing: the link between doctrine and practice, what we believe and how we live what it is we believe. And Peter would say these two are inseparable, one with the other. A lot of us in this community have recently been doing that, trying to live a better story, live what it is we say we believe. So Peter, this impassioned leader, insists that those who are being persecuted for their beliefs must still follow the example of Jesus, who faithfully and patiently suffered to live out God's purpose for him. Peter wants the people who are receiving this letter to live well in this Gentile world that they're in, always seeking this one thing, and that is to maintain the unity of this community of faith. And I think even more importantly, this spiritual shepherd yearned for these brothers and sisters who are under this oppression of persecution to always look to Jesus for hope, for a blessing for their faithfulness, and then to have that hope of deliverance that would come to them in the world to come. So as I have read this passage this week, I think I have had a very different understanding if I keep in my mind that in this day, conflict abounded on every turn, every home, every street, every day. And Peter says to that congregation, to this early church, in the midst of all of that, love one another, or the community of faith will suffer. If you happen to be new to the United Methodist Church, it's helpful to know that we really believe in community. We believe in connection, not just to one another within a local church, but our connection to other churches as well. We are at that point in the year when we are going to face again that season and the cycle of the church year when pastors are asked to relocate to different appointments. Last year, we said goodbye to two pastors, and this year, I have been asked to serve in a different faith community. And a new minister will come here to be in ministry with you. And I support us both, you and me, that we be reminded of what Peter said, that we should love one another well in the midst of this. Peter loved to remind people that our goal is not to live for personal gain. It's not about personal preference, but our goal is to live for righteousness. He wants us to remember that Christianity is not a solo sport. Christianity is meant to be lived in community, to experience life together, to benefit from the faith and the gifts of other people as we live through the challenges of what it means to be the church. Remember, the original intent of Christianity was not simply that a person had this individual endeavor to know and love Christ and follow his teachings. It was originally intended for believers to come together to live out the life that Jesus had modeled for them, to invite other people into the community where they would discover that the love of God was mightier than Rome, in a place where the grace of God would offer salvation to everyone, a place where everyone was welcomed, where love and hope abounded, even in the midst of persecution and of fear. It was some 3,000 years ago that a story was recorded about this fella named Job. Life had taken some hard turns for Job. At one point in his life, he had it all. His stellar reputation, a man blessed with every material thing that could bring him comfort and also bring him status. His life was filled with every relationship that could bring him joy. But all of that began to fall away when Job's faith was tested. And he had to dig really deep to find community, to find that sure foundation where he knew that God was still with him, even in the midst of this. In days past, his wife had been his closest friend and advisor, and she had been the one who had borne him children and had worked alongside him. But as she watched him suffer, she grew weary of the onslaught of loss and pain. So she has a little talk with her husband about what it is we believe and how we should live it. It was her word of wisdom, if you will. And she said to Job, "Just curse God and die. Just be done with it." But God had other ideas. And the book of Job reveals a lot of the conversations that then take place. It says, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Mortals do not know the way to it, and it is not found in the land of the living." The deep says, "It is not in me." And the sea says, "It's not with me." It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed out as its price. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all the living and concealed from the birds of the air. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks at the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned out the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and for a way for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and stretched it out. And he said to humankind, "Truly, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." So before Job relents and takes that advice that his wife gave him, before he falls into this despair that says, "Surely no good thing could ever happen again in my future," God speaks into Job's fear. And he asks, "Are you the one who gave the horse his prowess and adorned him with a shimmering mane? Did you create him to prance proudly and strike terror with his royal snorts? He paws the ground fiercely, eager and spirited, then charges into the fray. He laughs at danger. Fearless, he doesn't shy away from the sword. He quivers with excitement and at the trumpet blast races off at a gallop." 16 years ago, as I faced my service of ordination, which some of you might remember was actually right here, back when we used to have annual conference here, I heard sobering words being spoken over me. So a few years later, after I was appointed to come and be in ministry here with you, one day I sent a message to all of my colleagues who had been in my residency group. And I said, "I'm just recalling today all of the things that we promised to do for God through the church." So we reminisced about what it meant to be set apart for service, which is a good reminder for us because we're just a few days away from the ordination service at annual conference in Brentwood. I want to remind us all today some of the beliefs that we have about the ordination of ministers. The rite of ordination is a high moment in the process by which the faith community, now that's you, by which the faith community discerns and validates the call, the gifts, and effectiveness for apostolic ministry by agency of the Holy Spirit. Now, we had a beautiful baptism in the early service this morning, and I said, ordination, just like baptism, should never be seen as this graduation service, you know, like the end of a period of study, but instead, it is to be considered as an initiation into the way of life of the calling of God to serve God through the church. It is a way that is governed by laws that specify how those of us set apart for ministry are called and held accountable to live out our baptismal vocation for the life of the church, for the sake of the whole world. The authority, you hear that word used in the ordination service, the authority of ordination is exercised in the stewardship of the mysteries of the gospel and the church's mission in the world. You see, ordination, just like baptism, is ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit. And every pastor who has ever stood in this pulpit, in this church, have all heard the words of a bishop. Remember that you are called to serve, not to be served. You're called to proclaim the faith of the church and no other, to look after the concerns of God above all. An elder is called to share in the ministry of Christ and of the whole church, to lead the people of God in obedience to Christ's mission in the world. And then in the final moments of ordination, as the bishop puts his hands over our heads, we hear this question: will you do your best to pattern your life in accordance with the teachings of Christ? I think Peter would love that. I think that's exactly what Peter kept trying to teach us, that when we pattern our lives after Christ, then we know how to live as a faithful community together. For Peter was this shepherd who invited all of us sheep into the sheepfold, where we are known, we are brought in, where we are healed from our wounds of the day, and where we are protected from the dangers of the dark nights. So we in the church must care for one another. That baby who is still damp from baptism this morning, those who are elderly, those who are ill, those who despair, those who are discouraged. And might I say that you, this congregation, and this church staff do that so well. So I beg of you, stay together. Remember to live as Christ, both in the sufferings and in the joys. For you see, even back in the very earliest days of the church, back in Antioch, pastors have always been set apart and sent. We come and we go, and the cycle of the United Methodist system goes around one more time in a few weeks. I want you to know it has been one of the deepest joys of my life to be in ministry with you, not to you, but with you. We have been community, doing God's work together, bringing our collective gifts to the table and contributing whatever it is that God has entrusted to us day by day. I have a clergy friend in Manchester who recently said, "This is my waking thought every day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I sure hope I don't mess it up." Well, just in case, somewhere in these past 10 years, I have messed up a day that the Lord has made, I ask you now to hear these comments from the Order of Farewell. I thank you for the love and the support that you have shown me while I have ministered among you. I'm grateful for the ways that my leadership has been accepted. I ask forgiveness for any mistakes that I have made, and now trust that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. As I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here, and I release you from turning to me and depending upon me as a pastor. I encourage your continuing ministry here and will pray for you and for the new pastors who may come in the future. You see, in a few days, we are going to part in a new relationship. I will no longer be your pastor. I will be your friend. And no matter what your circumstances are today, what changes or transitions you are going through, maybe a move like me, maybe a career change, graduation from high school or college, or even health challenges, in all of these things, we must remember what Peter taught us, to be a community of faith, to share life together, to encourage one another in our growth of understanding of what it truly means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Then we can have the kind of faith like God spoke to Job, where we can laugh at fear, where we can turn forward with faith and search for the wisdom of God in each new season. Those of you who know my story know that it was many decades ago when I placed my life in the hands of God. And in those hands, I have found purpose and peace. I have been called to do some hard, hard things, to go, to stay, to leave. Some days it felt like soaring on an eagle's wings, and other days it felt like this free fall of faith backwards. But one of my favorite authors, Brennan Manning, said this. One day, my spiritual advisor said to me, "You don't need any more insights into faith. You just need to trust what has already been received and revealed to you." It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. The prophet Isaiah has a good closing word for us today. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am first and will be with the last. Each one helps the other, saying to one another, "Take courage, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." May it be so for you and for me. Let us pray together. Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting, from beginning to end, from birth to death, we give you thanks for cherished moments that we have shared as pastor and congregation. We now commend one another into your care as we step toward new directions. Keep us one in your love forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.